I think we're ready.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, let's go. It's good to see you, Liz.
Long time no see.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm looking forward to today's interview. The topic is super helpful, like how not to tank if you make a mistake. So I think all of sign shop owners need to really work.
Hey guys, welcome to Behind the Signs.
Yes, welcome to Behind the Signs. Welcome to today's episode. I am your co-host, Joe, along with
Liz, that's me.
Yes. And we are grateful to be here with all of you and we appreciate you. We love our community, Behind the Signs. And if you're on Facebook, please join the Behind the Signs community. Or if you're just listening to us on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcast, please follow us, subscribe, especially in the YouTube channel. If you guys could do us a huge favor and hit subscribe there, it really helps not annoying ads come up in our, although technically I think annoying ads are still going to come up.
I think they always come up. Annoying ads always win. It's really frustrating. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Although our sponsor talks are not annoying. So I want to thank our sponsor. Our primary sponsor is Inktabo. Of course, they bring you Sign Tracker and Graphics Flow and Printabo and Inksoft. And if you're in the UK, our UK friends, look up Clarity Go, project management for sign shops there. So anyway, great products.
You can find all of that on Inktabo, right?
Inktabo.com. It's all listed there.
Yep. Check it out.
Also want to thank our good friends at Sign Builder Illustrated, signshop.com, one of the sign industry's leading magazines. Of course, we have an article in the magazine every single month. It's a column called Behind the Signs. Oftentimes we take topics out of the community and we get to quote from some of the sign shops. And so it's really cool. So check us out there as well. So without further ado, let's get started on this great podcast today.
So today we're talking with Lee Termath. Lee, along with their husband and partner, Robin, own and operate VI Print Services, formerly Coombs Sign and More it's Nanaimo.
Correct. Very good.
Is it Nanaimo? Yeah. BC, Canada?
Yes.
Yeah. I looked it up. Yeah.
I did too, and I had to press a little microphone thing. Yeah. It looks like a beautiful place,
though. It is beautiful. So. I'm jealous, actually.
It is. It's gorgeous. I would say that we've lived quite a few places, and this is probably the most beautiful place we've lived, for sure. And we've lived in the Bahamas. Jealous. So, it's gorgeous.
That's a very strong statement. So, Lee, tell us a little bit about what VI Print Services does.
Well, we're a small shop, mom and pop shop, just my husband and I, and that's by choice. We've run our business for 10 years. We bought the business a little bit on a whim 10 years ago. We were in the Bahamas and we moved back to Canada. We had moved to actually buy a newspaper because that was the industry we were in before. And we spent 6 months negotiating this business and it just got more complicated. And we just, in the end, it was just not a good deal for us. And literally, we closed negotiations formally on a Friday. On Saturday, looked in the paper, and I don't know if they have Kijiji down there, but it's like a marketplace advertising online. Saw the sign shop. That was on a Saturday. Went to saw it on Sunday. My husband loved it, and we bought it on Monday and got the keys on Tuesday. So after 6 months of negotiating another business, we literally bought a business in 24 hours. And our purpose, we saw the value of the business, and we figured we had the transferable skills. We knew software, we knew design, we knew about timelines, accounting, and customer service and all that. We just needed the guy to show us what buttons to press and what all those rolls of vinyl behind the printer, what they were for. And so we started the business, and we walked in because he already had this existing business. And what we did, having no experience at all. It's funny, customers don't ever ask you if you're any good at it. I mean, the first day someone came in and said, I want an alupanel sign. And I was like, well, I don't really know what that is. But I went, okay, right down. And I knew enough to ask what size. And then when they left, it was like, what was that? So, but people don't ask you that. So we kind of faked it until we made it. And what we did was we put the business into the the sign shop. It was the previous owner was super creative. He was super creative, but he wasn't a business person. And so what we did is we put the 9-to-5 into it. We put timelines, we put regular hours. He didn't have regular hours. And we really grew the business a lot by being very business to business oriented. We were in the middle of two towns. We joined the two chamber of commerces. We went to all the meetings. We've never marketed. We've always gotten business from the chamber of commerce. We really focused on the business to business as opposed to people coming in for a cottage sign or a little dog sticker for their RV, that kind of thing. And then it grew. And then we loved our shop. It was in Coombs, which is a little country area in between these two towns. And then COVID came and we were extremely busy. Oh, it was just insane. And we actually had a couple staff at that point, and we had to send them home because of the bubble situation. And so we just worked together. And just a little side story on that. About a month before, we had bought a little print shop, a little paper printing business cards, that kind of thing, because we were using them as our subcontractor for flyers and that kind of thing, and got to know the owner really well. One man shop. She had great equipment, great skills, but she was struggling financially and we were doing so well. So we went, well, we'll just buy her shop, put it into ours, hire her as the print manager. And she had all these great contracts for theater groups and really a good little business. She just wasn't a good business person. So we got her in and she was doing all of it. It was doing fantastic for a month. And then COVID happened and we had to send her home. It was a shutdown. And we didn't even know how to turn on the big, giant, massive printer that she had. We didn't know anything about paper stocks and all that kind of stuff. And we were going, oh my gosh, because she had so much business. So we floundered a lot. And she had a regular contract for postcards for a realtor and every week. And she just churned those out, took her half an hour to make 1,000 postcards. And that was it. Took us 4 days to figure out how to do that. So so we've had ups and downs. And we decided to move our shop to the town where we live because we were commuting all the time. So that's Nanaimo. And because the sign shop Coombs Signs didn't make any sense anymore, we changed to something more generic. And actually the zoning that we were supposed to be in, the building that we were in, they're very strict about the zoning here, was only for printing and not for signs. And so the city told us, well, just change your name to something generic like print services. So that's what we did. And so it's been good, a good change for us. Yes.
Awesome. Well, we are linking your website below in the description of the podcast. So be sure to click on that and check it out and look at what Lee and Robin have built.
Yeah. And I do like the spin you did on the name too, with the VI yeah. for printing.
And I'll tell you a little secret. If you see our logo, it's got the aqua. That's a Vancouver Island shape. And for Vancouver Island people, everybody knows that. And it has to be on a certain angle. And then the colors are actually the Bahamas flag colors, because that's where I'm from. And it's a little bit of our heritage. So we kind of merged our two loves into that. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It looks great. I do see that on your website. So I kind of read through all of your website and it looks good. And I always like too about us, where it says, we're small business owners that care about their customers. And as Elizabeth will tell you, I'm kind of sappy. So I was
like that. He loves love.
I love love.
I also own a sign business and it's on the smaller side. We have employees, but it is still considered a small business. And in our company, we always say, you know, mistakes are inevitable. And at some point, they're going to happen. It's just really all about how you respond to those mistakes that can make or break your relationship, not just with your customer, but also with your team members. So today we're going to kind of focus on that. And I think it's great that we're even talking at it from a small business owner mindset, because I think in small businesses, it's even that much more important to know how to navigate mistakes, because even the smallest little thing that for a large company would be a blip on the radar can cause such a huge ripple effect.
Oh, sure. Mistakes are money out of your pocket always.
They are. And if you have a knee-jerk reaction to it, it could be a lot more money out of your pocket if you're not. So that's what we kind of want to talk about, I think, today, because I know for me, and even with you, like what you said on your website, you know, we love our customers. And I know, Elizabeth, you're the same, you know, your motto about working with good people and doing good work. And I feel like when a mistake happens, it's that gut punch at first, right? It's like, ah. And then, you know, for me, like my knee-jerk reaction is always going to be, how do I make sure the customer knows I'm going to fix this right now? And how do I pull out all the stops to make it right? But the problem is, I think for me anyway, and we did a lot of big electric signs. So that's why it caused us grief if we had a knee-jerk reaction, because it could blow production timelines and it could really be costly. So today I think we want to kind of talk through with you just kind of three main points of mistakes. First of all, how do you approach the mistake with the customer? How do you approach mistakes with your team, which right now it's you and your hubby. So even the two of you, like, how do you manage it together? And then thinking also when you had employees. And then, and I think importantly too, a lot of sign shops, you know, and you share a lot of great wisdom on Behind the Signs community, by the way. So we're very appreciative of all, you're an expert in the group. But it's, you know, what do you do post mistake, post mortem? Like, how do you look at that mistake and figure out what broke and, you know, what in the system can be fixed? So, but I was, you know, I think about some of the mistakes I made, because I've owned two different sign shops and have worked, you know, at a sign shop doing sales for a few years. But the sign shop that I started, and I was kind of like you, I jumped into the deep end. I came out of a janitorial contracting business that had 100 employees. So I was, you know, I was good at making forms and building schedules and all that stuff. But then I sold that business. We moved to Texas. I didn't want to get back into that business because it's a hard, you think the sign industry is hard, man. Janitorial contracting is a bear. And you're up all night. So I wanted to get into something different. I thought media sounded super sexy, but I had no experience and ended up working at a dumpy little sign shop. But then, you know, after a few months of working there and realizing this place isn't going anywhere, they're disorganized, I started my own. So I jumped right into the deep end of the pool, not knowing much at all about the sign industry. Ended up buying one of our wholesalers, kind of like you did with the print shop, and just grew it from there. But I was thinking about one in particular, and I talked about this in our article too, is we did a sign and somehow it made it all the way through the system. It was a channel letter sign. It was installed on a stone wall, individual reverse channel letters. So think about all those holes being drilled, all the secondary penetrations. It was scaled at 50% smaller than it was supposed to be. And the client came out after it was installed. He wasn't on site. What a nightmare, you know? And of course, my reaction is take it down, patch the holes, build a new sign. And, you know, I mean, it did ultimately, it all worked out. Right. And we figured out how to, you know, what the problem was, where it happened. In the end, it ended up being a happy story. The client loved the sign once we got it right. And the sign that was 50% smaller, we actually installed it on the inside of his, office.
That's what I
and sold it to him at cost.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But all the lessons learned in there, well, we can talk through them. And of course you can tell us your stories too. But, you know, I think the most important thing is not, you know, I mean, that one you had to address, right? But not having some kind of plan in place so that you can, you know, learn from it and make sure you don't, you know, let it happen again. So
like one of ours, we did this. It's a great example of like the stop, drop, and roll. Like, what do you, which I think might be, well, I guess everyone knows that reference, right? Stop, drop, and roll. It's like that version, but for mistakes. For one, we had like, we do a lot of apartment complexes and we do all of the signs for the apartment complex. And we do a lot of like the same brand in multiple locations. And one of the times we did one in one location, typically, you know, the room ADA signs were a part of the sconce package. So they have ones that are built into the wall sconces and we don't handle them. But at one property in one email, our partner had said, we do need room ADA, but we just missed it. Our mistake was we missed when they said that fell through the cracks. And so the super's coming to us saying, when am I going to have my room ADA? And I'm like, that's not it. Like, call your sconce vendor. And then we realized, oh, here's the mistake we missed, that we were supposed to handle it. So, you know, how do you they need something in the interim, but they didn't pay for the signs. So where is that fine line of how do you fix this problem without putting yourself in a hole, right? And for us, it was providing temp signs that would pass inspection, but then charging them for the permanent signs.
Yes, exactly.
So Lee, and what if you can think of the worst? You know, you've been in the 10 years now, so there have been
some pretty bad ones. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if it was one of your podcasts I was looking at or somebody else saying. But the very first thing is, it's just signs. It's not life or death, right? That's the most important thing. Even though I have felt the crisis of faith going, do we really know what the heck we're doing here? This is awful. So getting to that point of like, you're not going to die. No one's going to die. Fix the mistake. And we've always said, own the mistake. No questions asked. Fix the mistake. And so that's always been our mantra for all the businesses that we've done. This is our second, third business, is just take care of it. Customers first, they're not always right. And it's usually rests with them a lot of the time, but fix it. No questions asked. That's always been the policy. Biggest mistakes, we've had lots of small mistakes that we thought were horrendous, like putting on the side of a three trucks. It was a eco-friendly logging company, and they had a huge recycling symbol as part of their logo, and we put it on upside down on all the trucks. And you know, the guy did not like that at all. I'll tell you.
Down with recycling.
Yeah. So exactly. same with the building one we had. Pretty well our biggest job we had was getting channel letters for the entirety of a commercial building in one of the towns that we worked in. It was a big, big job for us. And we'd never done channel letters. We outsourced them. And seeing the proof online, I didn't realize that the proof I thought it said 50% scale, and it said to scale. So yes, that we had two sets of signs and numbers and the name of the build, the address of the building, and the address of the building was a long block of building. And so the address was several places along the way. And then, but the numbers were on every single one. Well, the numbers were twice the size that they were supposed to be. But in the end, because as you can tell, I'm a pretty good talker. The reason they had to get the signage is because the fire department was going through the whole town saying, everybody's got to fix their signage. They're very fussy for signage in this town. And so we do all the work for the fire department. And so when I was scrambling, figuring out what the heck to do, he said, well, you know, I really like those big numbers. I mean, they were huge on all the units. I said, you can see them from like two blocks away. And he goes, that's fantastic. So that was what I use for the owner. And I even got the fire department to support me and say, we love those big numbers. So sometimes you just have to scramble.
You lucked out there.
Generally, our process for if there is a mistake, first of all, it's pretty standard. You send a proof to everybody. You get them to sign off on the proofs. But you also can't always rely on that, because if it's a guy who's a plumber or whatever, it's not his job to be knowing all about proofs and stuff. That's our job to know about that stuff. So you can't just blame a customer and say, well, you signed off on the proof. Sometimes they're on their phone while they're on a site or whatever. So first of all, doing the proofs. And then if there's a mistake, finding out exactly where in the process the mistake happened. And I would say that was probably one of the reasons that we signed on to SignTracker, was because before we were using paper, and it was like I had piles of my very nice detailed quote forms, and I'm flipping through them all the time and then going, oh, we needed to print this sign to be ready tomorrow and it's still here. And so fixing that happened a lot. And when we were getting busier and busier and we were just paper. And so SignTracker for us streamlined that a lot. And so it totally diminished a lot of the mistakes we had as far as timelines. And this sign has to be ready on this at this time. And I always counted that missing deadlines as their mistakes that we made. And so getting a system in place, and then when there's a mistake, go through all the emails and find out where the mistake was made. I have to say, honestly, there's no greater satisfaction than a mad customer that then you go through the emails and go, well, you were the one that said it was all okay. You know, and then you go, I was right, but you don't tell them that.
This is a conversation I had with my husband, who is also my business partner, I think 2 days ago. It was this week. And it was, I do the accounting. My training is in accounting. So that's my side of the business. And I looked at him and I said, there's no better feeling in the world when someone says this hasn't been paid and you say, yeah, it has. And then they're like, we don't see any records. And you're like, here are my receipts. And it's just like a great feeling to get the email back of them saying, oh yeah, upon further review. And it's like,
exactly.
Satisfaction. Yes. Yes. Love it.
You know, there's
so I guess like when you, there absolutely is. And with a customer, it's even more fine, right? Like I can talk with a vendor and be a little bit more candid, but with a customer, how do you navigate that? So let's say, you know, a mistake has happened. They do, as they do. How do you approach that initial conversation with your customer?
It's always right away, we will take care of it and get this sorted as fast as possible. Fixing your mistake is now our top priority. No matter what the production schedule is like, there's no putting it on the back burner or avoiding. It's always jump to it right away. And so we've always done that in our newspaper business. Sometimes, you know, not often, but an ad would get missed. Well, gosh, that's a huge thing for a customer. And so right away, it's that's going to be in the next time. It's going to be twice the size or we'll give you a discount. It's tell the customer, we will fix it. We will find a solution and you are now our top priority. That always has been our mantra. And, and then going through and finding out where the mistake is, you know, a sign got made on Alupanel instead of Coroplast. Well, that probably maybe rested with me. Sometimes my husband and I, even though it's only the two of us and we're communicating on every job all the time, he might have said, oh, I didn't see that it was matte laminate on that. And so I went, well, you know, matte laminate is not something we use very often. So now when I put the instructions in Sign Tracker, I'm going to put matte laminate in caps and put asterisks next to it so that it's really obvious for you. Fix the problem. And I'll have to say, every time we fixed a problem for our customers, they come out happier. Even though it all starts bad, our attitude of we will fix it, whether it's their mistake or ours. And if it's ours, we pay for it. If it's their mistake and they have to, you know, pay for it, we'll give them a super pro deal on whatever it is.
I think it's super important to point out that what you're saying is, you're recognizing that something's not right and they're not happy. You're recognizing that even a mistake has been made, but you're not immediately saying, this is my fault. And I think it's really important because I think that's kind of what Joe was talking about in the beginning, jumping through and being super reactive. And like that can kind of damage, you know, your team or your workflow. Instead, you're saying, we're going to figure it out. And figuring it out is going back and looking and seeing where that mistake happened.
Yeah. And I think for us too, it depends, you know, it really depends on the project, right? So for us, you know, we did a lot of big electric sign projects. And so first of all, I think you're absolutely right. Own the problem, own the mistake, let your customer know immediately that it's going to be fixed. For us, it was very hard. Like if I had a knee jerk reaction, I'd be like, look, man, we're going to bust this out in 2 days, this brand new set of channel letters, we're going to get it up for you. But then go back and talk to my shop foreman and tell him that. And next thing you know, he, you know, wants to shoot me. And so
to say how you left that business alive is really beyond.
But, you know, so I, you know, as we learned how to deal with mistakes, you know, for me, it was always like, hey, I'm going to own this mistake. I'm going to tell the customer we're going to get it right. And if it was their mistake, you're right. Same thing, right? Hey, we can get it fixed. it's going to cost this, but it would just be at cost or whatever. But as time went on, because I owned my bigger shop for over 10 years, almost 11 years. And, you know, we would go back to the, I would go back to the shop foreman and the scheduler and, you know, look at the production schedule and then say, okay, this either A, we're going to pay a few folks to work overtime to get this busted out. But we just, you know, I tried to be really sensitive. And I think that that's a good piece of advice that we could give to anybody that's listening to this. If, and especially if you're doing, you know, complicated projects, don't just, even though it's a gut punch, you want to tell the customer, oh my gosh, we'll get it done in 24 hours. I mean, if it's a half a dozen decals and you can get it done in 24 hours, that's awesome. But if it's something that requires, you know, routing and painting and assembly and all that, just acknowledge it, take a step back, get back to the shop, get with your team, figure out the adjustment. Cause let's face it, if you throw a, if you, like in the case of the sign that I made it 50% smaller, if I throw a set of channel letters into the production timeline, not only do I have an upset client that has a sign half the size, even though in his mind, he might think, okay, they're going to fix it. Now all of a sudden I've bumped the production schedule for five other projects. So I have six angry clients, you know, you know, so, it, and a team that's, you know, not feeling great either. You know, they're, it's because it's discouraging. So,
so then I guess that's a great question too. Like, you know, if you're at that point where you've, you validated the customer and you're not accepting responsibility, which is great. You're not putting yourself in a bind. Hopefully, you've gotten to the point where you're not doing that, but you're saying, okay, now I'm going to approach this with my team. How do you, I know it's, even on a team of two, there's still a team and there's still a workflow. So how do you approach that without causing issues within, within the team?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, it's never perfect. And sometimes there's some yelling and stuff, but putting your systems in place so that if you're making a mistake, just like the simple thing, like the matte lamb, make it super obvious if something is going to be different than the norm. And like documenting that, you know, like, we've always said, if you have to say something three times, write it down. It's got to, or put it in a system. It's same with like, you know, I love to promote sign tracker. So sign tracker is the same thing. If you're typing the same thing all the time, we'll make a template for it. So the same with mistakes, maybe have a system in place. If there's a mistake, go through all the emails, check all the artwork, like the steps, where did the mistake happen? And then fix that. And I will tell you, because I did write this down here too, there's only the two of us in our shop, but we used to have staff here and we had staff at our previous business as well. And I have to say that one of the reasons that we don't have staff is the mistake situation. And I realize this probably does not sound great for big businesses because we've just always been a small business, do it ourselves kind of people. So like, as an example, when we had staff, and we're doing a 4x8 sign, we're a small business, so we're not doing big electrical stuff, but as they're carrying out a beautiful 4x8 alu panel sign and they're so busy chatting, they ding the door on the way out and dent the sign. Now we have to make that sign all over again. And, you know, you're not allowed to, beat your employees or deduct it, or you just have to swallow that cost and do it again. And that's a terrible thing because that's the timeline. It looks embarrassing and unprofessional. You've got to make that sign all over again, you know. So I have to say, we are probably, even though this is all about fixing mistakes, you know, having staff has been an issue for us because every mistake costs money. And so, it's been challenging for us to have staff. And so I couldn't, even though we would set guidelines, you know, check the order, those carelessness is the part that, we had challenges with. And,
sure. I mean, how do you ever get someone to care as much about your business as you care about your business? And you can't.
You can't. And so that has been a challenge for us. But I'll tell you what, on another level, learning what kind of mistakes are the big mistakes is also of value. When we started the business, we had a little bit of training, but not that much. And As an example, we did a wall mural at a shop, and first time we ever did a wall mural. Lovely ladies that wanted this and had great faith in us. I don't know why, because we'd never done it before. And let me tell you, the stress of trying to match all the panels together on the mural, when we were off a millimeter, we were sweating. We had the heat gun, and then it was too hot in there, and then it got too cold, and it was just horrible for us. It wasn't until like a year or two later that I saw this great mural in a shop, and I went, this is great. And I went, oh, they're like off all over the place. Nobody ever cared about that at all. You go and look on, we have ferries here that take you back and forth to the mainland. It's part of the highway system. Well, they've got, I would love to have that contract, because there's posters, tourist posters all over, murals and stuff. Those things are slapped on in 5 minutes and nobody cares. So, you know, billboards, we used to sweat about putting up billboards and matching up all those panels. And, boy, oh boy, we would sweat on that kind of stuff. And then when we did the first billboard we did, as an example, we didn't install it. We just put it up, and it was like five AluPanel pieces together in this billboard. And oh my gosh, by the time you print and you laminate and you mount, it's really hard to get those pieces to match. And it was just, we reprinted, we redid, we reinstalled on these panels. And then when we actually, So someone else installed it, and we just sweated. Oh my gosh, the letter's not going to match up. And then we went and actually installed it at that same location a couple months later, and we got to look at everybody's. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if from a distance. So we learned when mistakes are a big deal and when they're not. And
When is it a 3-foot problem or a 30-foot
exactly,
problem?
Exactly. So sweating the small stuff, you have to learn what is sweating the small stuff. And the same with vehicles. And in fact, when we started the business, we actually, in two consecutive summers, we hired two, and I put this on behind the signs because somebody was asking about how you learn to be in the sign business. We hired two old sign people, retired people. They actually came into our shop to buy vinyl. They were doing their own, they had their little cutter, and they were doing little stuff on the sign. And I said, what do you do? And oh, we've been in one girl who we still do, she still does graphics for us. She worked in Saskatchewan, which is cold. It's like being in Montana in the winter all the time. And she, her thing was truck decals for big oil companies and logging companies. And you had a fleet come in and you had to slap those things on and get them out as quick as possible. And she taught us a lot about how to fix mistakes and when mistakes are not that big of a deal. So you don't want to be careless. You want it to be perfect, but also not sweating the small stuff was huge for us. So she taught us a lot. We hired her, and we hired another guy as well who used to be in the movie industry. And he did all the sets for Stargate, the TV show. And we said, well, come in for summer, work for us. We were super busy, and teach us everything you know. And so that was hugely valuable. And he also said, here's some things you can get away with if you're doing big stuff. It doesn't really, the bigger, the more you can get away with. So here's what he taught me. RGB 000 is the blackest black you can have. So just so you know.
And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, you address it with the customer. You internally address it with the team. You figure out what went wrong, and then, like you said, if it happens three times, you know, make it a policy, right? Like, how do you address these problems internally? And it's, you know, everyone's going to make mistakes. So don't beat yourself up. I think the important thing is don't have a knee jerk reaction. You know, make sure the customer's happy at the end, because you want to preserve that relationship. Make sure your team understands and learns a lesson from it and isn't stressed out about it.
Thing we didn't really get to, but we kind of touched on that, that you're about to highlight, but I want to like really drive home that point. How do you keep them from continuing to happen? And you kind of mentioned it, setting up systems, right? Like, how do you systemize? Like, how do you, that's what we call the postmortem. Right. That's what we call going back after the job is done, which isn't always easy, because it's like, oh, we have to move on to the next one. It's like, but taking that moment to step back and say, this is where it went wrong. This is why it went wrong. Because you've already figured all that out in your first two steps.
But this is how we're going to make sure it doesn't happen like that again. This is the system we're going to set up to make sure that doesn't happen again. So I think it's just really important to make sure you take that time, even though it is time away from other things, to have that postmortem conversation.
Yeah. And you know what? Because we are small, our solutions to mistakes are pretty easy ones. Read what it says. Always turn this off, turn this on, check, check, check. And for us, sometimes it's sticky notes on machines, like the laminator, you know, is it down all the way? And you don't want to laminate, you know, 20 feet of nice vehicle wrap and you didn't put the thing down. My husband does all
Post-it notes were invented for a reason.
Exactly.
That's the system.
And as a word of encouragement when it comes to postmortem too, don't forget to celebrate the wins because you learn from that too, right? Because that's how you, I mean, celebrating the wins and what went right is how you're going to, that knowledge also is like applied to mistakes, right?
And so we do it for both. Yeah. Like if a project goes off without a hitch, we're like, how? Let's go through how that happened. Yes. Why did that happen?
I think that's hard to celebrate the wins because to us, a win is someone sent us an email. We want this job. We get it made in a couple of days. They send us an e-transfer and it's out the door. That's a perfect job, right? And then you don't really reflect on it because nothing bad happened, right? So you're right. It's important to celebrate the wins. And I don't think we do that often enough. We look at our sales for the month. We go, oh, this was a good month. That to us is celebrating a win. But you're right. If you had staff, I think for motivation, it'd be nice to, take pictures of the signs. We do that we ask our customers to take pictures with the signs and, it would be nice to have the staff on there too, right? And so celebrating the small things, I have to say we don't do that often enough. So maybe we will more.
So now we do our rapid fire questions. We do this with every guest. I'm going to let Joe kind of kick them off. So if he wants to start with the first one, you can go. But it's the same three questions every guest. So
Yes. So, okay. So Lee, the top lesson in your sign shop that you wish you didn't learn the hard way.
I would say this, the subject of mistakes, that you, not all mistakes need to be fixed. They can be, you can let them go. What did we learn that we wish we hadn't learned the hard way? I would say that was probably the main thing is sweating. We sweat a lot of the small stuff and we shouldn't have. Yeah.
So the next one is, also, it's funny because these questions really lend to this conversation that we've had today. This is the question we call happy endings. So what's the happiest reaction to a project that you've ever had? Or what is one so bad that you were just extremely happy it was over?
Let's do the bad one because I did prepare for this one. So,
oh my gosh. Lee, wait, before you say it, I just want to say, no one ever picks the bad one and it makes me so sad. So this just like brightened my day. Let's hear it.
Yeah, because this has actually happened on a couple of jobs. So we got this job to recover a school bus for a charity. And it was an old, old bus and had been recovered before. And it was just such a pretty wrap. We went, and it was a charity that we had already done some work for. So we went, what a great project. Well, it was a nightmare from the artwork that they wanted was actually painting by somebody. And so we had to take a picture of the painting. And then they wanted to come and to have samples done of color matching because they're artists. That's why we never do anything for artists anymore because they're a pain in the neck. So there was so much of that back and forth interaction that we didn't put into the job. We just put materials, artwork set up, and install. We didn't put any consultation. Now we know that we pad our quotes if we have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of back and forth. We have that. So there was so much of that back and forth until they finally decided on the design and there were way too many people involved. And then the actual install, we had never done anything like that before. And we called in the old gal that was working for us and we said, you know how to put stuff on old things and buses, and it had all these ridges. And then you had the design was this big swan that went along the side and then over the windows, and the windows and where the school buses were, they slid out back and forth. So much work, so painful, horrible in every way, partly because of our inexperience, but partly because it was a super hard job and because there was so much back and forth in the art, the design and the consulting, which is my least favorite part of the whole sign industry, is the art and consulting part, because it takes so long and then they're fed up. We're all fed up. And then now it's a rush because they thought it was only going to take a month to get this stuff done. And now it's been 3 months and a lot of it rests with them. And then now you're rushing. That is a big challenge for me. And we've changed our business a little bit because of that. So anyway, we finally did this bus, and we had to redo so much of it because of there were vents and ridges and windows. It was just so hard to do. And anyway, they were thrilled, absolutely thrilled with it all. We felt that we didn't make any money off of this based on all of the hard work and stress. Then I find out about a couple years later that I ran into a sign guy at a trade show, and he said, "Oh, I see you did the old bus there." And he went, "I wouldn't have touched that with a 10-foot pole." He said, "That was such, I did the first one and it was a nightmare." And I was like, "I wish you had told me that." And then just recently someone else is doing it, and they called me and said, "Oh my gosh." And I said, "What?" And they went, "The bus." And I went, "Everybody knows the bus. It's the horrible job." So I was super nice to him. I said, "You know what?" He said, "Do you think you want to work with me on this?" And I went, "Nope, I don't. But I will send you all of my files. I don't care whether they're proprietary or not." I sent him a whole big thing and I said, "Have at it." And it's still not done. And that was 6 months ago. He's still going back and forth. So that one was a nightmare. I had one more that was a nightmare job that I just cringe whenever I see the store when I drive by. It was for a food truck, and they got this design done by a graphic artist in Australia, and they said they paid $4,000 for the artwork. Like, can you imagine? And I was like, I'm in the wrong business. And so the design was, it was a bakery shop, a bakery food truck, and it was kind of like flowers and pictures of pies and ice cream and stuff just threw up all over the food truck. It was just this like whole collage of all these different things. Well, this graphic artist sent us to that as a Photoshop JPEG image that we had to put on a whole food truck. And we had recommended to the company that it would be cheaper for them to paint it this purple that they wanted, because the color matching wasn't working. I said, "Get it painted and we'll just put decals all over it. It'll save you a ton of money instead of having a full wrap." And it made our lives easier because there were lots of windows and ridges and pumps and bumps and lumps all over the place. So we're trying to make our job easy. So when they sent me a Photoshop of JPEG of the design, we actually had to click, 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 cut all around every single flower, bee, pie, ice cream, hours and hours and hours of work that we did on it, and that we couldn't charge for because it was our inexperience of going, "You're sending us artwork? You're going to give me files with cut lines and bleeds." And I'll, you know, we assume that. And so when we finally put everything on, it was all distorted. We had to on the fly make decisions of like, no, this pie couldn't go over this part because there was a vent there. So we moved the pie over a couple inches, and the customer loved it. And then about a week later, she said, "I send pictures to the graphic artist and she's furious that you have moved things." And it was just a nightmare. She says, "I demand my money back" and all that kind of stuff. And it was terrible whenever I see that. So nobody was happy in the end. We didn't give her any money back because we did a fantastic job. And I tried to explain to her all the extra work that we did. And nobody was happy about that one. And except for I see it driving down the road and it looks fantastic. But the customer experience, it was terrible. So, you know, we didn't win on that one. I can be honest that we didn't. She'll never speak to us again. We don't want to see her again. So, you know, those things happen.
That's definitely I am happy it's over.
Yeah. But by and large, if you fix mistakes, I can't even remember what your question was in the beginning, but if you try really hard, every single customer that we've made a mistake on has said at the end, we're super happy with how you dealt with this. We will be your customer. We will continue to be your customer. Your attitude about your can do, let's fix it attitude was what made everything right in the end. And that food truck is probably the only one that is of the hundreds, thousands of jobs that we've done is my greatest regret. So yeah. What was your question?
All right. You nailed it. The last one was, okay, if you weren't, I always think this question, I always wonder why we ask this question, because I think everyone we talk to kind of loves being in the sign industry.
Because I think everyone dreams of working with puppies. Like, that's why we ask this question.
Yeah, I did make some notes on that too. Okay. Well, my husband and I are entrepreneurs. We always have been entrepreneurs. The first time we had our own business, we realized we wanted to be our own idiot boss and not work for any other idiot. So I don't know what we would be doing. We came here, we're both sales oriented. We're both huge imagination people. So I don't know what we would have done if we weren't doing the sign shop. We didn't like fall into it like you did, Joe, when you were younger and you were in that and decided to do it yourself. We bought it strictly as a business, not as a passion, but as a business. And I will have to say, anybody that is maybe looking at this that wants to be in the business, there is no better business, I would say, than a sign shop. The satisfaction that you get from handing somebody, I always think we're handing somebody their hopes and dreams in something nice and shiny. It's something they needed, something they wanted, something they thought about. It always represents, a sign always represents an improvement for a business. Either it's the start of their business or it's a sign that my husband has written me a little note to say what our ideal business would be. But, you are always solving a problem for the better for somebody. You know, when we had our newspaper, we sold advertising and I was darn good at it. But who likes to pay for advertising? You never know if it's going to work. And it's no one's ever happy giving us a check for advertising. But the signs, you know, even if it's a don't park here, that's solving someone's problem. If it's A-frames and for their market or whatever, it's making them look more important and businessy. We do a lot of stuff for farmers markets, that kind of thing. So that's the big reward in the sign business, is that you are making someone happy with something nice and shiny at the end of it. And there's nobody that I think is not happy to pay. You know, even if they're miserable or whatever, we're solving their problem. So that's why I think signs, and that, you know, for a young person, the markup is fantastic on materials. If you do your pricing right, it's a good profit thing. It's a good, you make as much as you work kind of business. You know, we used to work really hard in our newspaper to sell, but sometimes there weren't good months, as hard as you could work. But in the sign business, the more signs you make, the more money you make. It's a fantastic, I can't really think of many businesses that are as financially and personally and career-wise rewarding as a sign shop, for sure.
I agree. Yeah. And that's why I've been in the business for so long myself. Yeah. I love it. And what I'm doing right now with Behind the Signs and, you know, my day job, supporting Sign Tracker, I love it. But there's days where I go, you know, I would just love to be back at a sign shop because the opportunity is just
exactly
limitless.
And for us, for our future, that's my husband's note was our next business is going to have, no customers and, no customers and no staff.
If you figure that out, let Liz and I know.
I'm ready for that too.
Yeah, we haven't figured it out. But we're probably going to go online next and use our expertise to, I'm learning AI stuff. I've used a little bit in, our business. My emails are much nicer and more professional than they used to be, thanks to ChatGPT. And, you know, it's helped a lot with things like, organizing stuff in the office. And so we'll use those skills for something else. But I would always tell people that this is just such a fantastic business. We should have started this 20, 30 years before. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, good.
Well, awesome. Well, Lee, thank you so much for today's talk. We really appreciate
You're
it. I think that there's, I think it's helpful. Lots of great tidbits for business owners in there. So
thank you.
Thanks a bunch, guys.